This sermon was preached by Pastor Naftali Ogalo at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, on Sunday, 27th September 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. You are most welcome to join with us for worship at Grace Baptist Church in Eldoret. We are located within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street, behind Kogo Flats, Eldoret, Kenya. Let me give you an introduction to my sermon this morning. Now, 10 years ago, Kenyans were very excited at the promulgation of the new constitution, even praised as one of the best in the world. But last week, the Chief Justice advised the President to dissolve the Parliament and call for a by-election in all the 290 constituencies because of its failure to implement a two-third gender rule. Now, if you're wondering what that means, just one statement that will help is that in the Constitution, a particular statement reads, "The state shall take steps to ensure that no more than two-thirds of members of all elective and appointive positions are of the same gender." So in other words, there need to be a fair distribution between men and women. Now, the Kenyan constitution, though praised world over, hasn't delivered the satisfaction Kenyans longed for. So, of course, you are right to wonder what in the world is the relevance to this morning's sermon and what I have just said. Well, I hope this will make sense. You see, everyone is yearning for satisfaction, which Kenyans think will be realized by implementing the two-third gender rule. And by the way, I pray for every legitimate effort to be made. But this will not guarantee the lasting satisfaction. Therefore, I stand here this morning boldly announcing to you a package, a different package altogether, which alone holds guarantee of an eternal satisfaction because it provides an eternal rest. Now, I want us to read a passage of scripture which I'm going to preach from, and that is Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 29. Let me read in your hearing now what I am calling my sermon today for easy remembrance is an invitation like no other. An invitation like no other. In other words, this is a unique, special invitation. Let's read and then we will be able to understand from verse 25, Matthew 11. "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children.' 'Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that at a time when there is so much uncertainty of tomorrow, no one knows what will take place tomorrow regarding our country and the Constitution, the way it will turn out. Yet, Lord, you know. You know all things. And you're the one who is urging us, inviting us, not to put our trust in all the institutions and constitutions of this world, but to listen to your voice, to come and to find rest in your soul, for our souls in you. Oh God, please help us then this morning as I bring your word, and as, dear friends, listen to me. I pray that your word will come clearly and urgently and powerfully for the salvation of souls. Bring good from it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last Sunday, we actually listened to, or we heard, very hard words from the lips of Jesus himself. Those who have had the privilege of the gospel being preached to them yet refuse to repent of their sins will incur greater judgment compared to those who have not heard the gospel. And so you may ask, is there any hope? Is there any hope? For any and all who are restless within them over this serious pronouncement of the Lord Jesus, I encourage you. I encourage you that we should listen to this same Lord Jesus, because he goes on to speak. You see, after he has sounded the genuine threat of severe judgment, then amazingly, from his own lips, we now hear the most wonderful invitation, which promises real satisfaction, real rest, never to be found anywhere else. Now, this passage then, let us unpack it. I want to bring it to you in 3 points and then bring some 2 areas of application at the end. The first thing I want us to see from this passage is a gracious salvation declared. There is a declaration of a gracious salvation in this passage, particularly verses 25 and 26. If we look at verse 25, this is what we read. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. You see, Jesus thanks or praises his Father in his capacity as the sovereign ruler of all the universe. Now, before we see closely why Jesus praises his Father, please, I want us to take note of when this praise was given. Let's have some background as to when was this praise or thanks given. And our passage tells us, at that time, Jesus declared. Now, you may say, well, what do we make of this at that time? In fact, we may not see it clearly in this particular passage, but in the parallel passage in the book of Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10 verse 17, we learn that the disciples, that's the apostles of Jesus, had just returned from their mission. And they had given reports of all that they accomplished, including casting out of demons and healing the sick and preaching the gospel of repentance. And so you can imagine the great excitement that was going on as they related, each person narrating their story. But Jesus seems to draw their attention from their accomplishment to what matters most. So what is it that matters most? Well, it is what Matthew covers for us. Matthew doesn't tell us much the background, but he tells us the great issue, the great matter at stake, thanksgiving to God. So God the Father is being thanked, the one who controls everything. And you see, as God the Father is being thanked because he controls everything, Jesus then zeroes in on a specific control that is attributed to the Father. Do you notice that? Verse 25b, if we can call it so, where he talks of, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. So the Father is being thanked for hiding specific things from the wise and understanding and revealing them to little children. So you, of course, are wondering, what things were hidden? Now, things hidden in this passage surely are the knowledge essential. The knowledge that is essential and that leads to salvation. And those described as wise and understanding, from whom these things were hidden, are none other than the scribes and the Pharisees. And of course, by extension, those who chose to follow them. And you see, the scribes and the Pharisees were the teachers of God's law. And they failed to understand God's way of salvation by promoting their own rules and regulations. Chapter and verse? Well, yes, what we find in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The first two verses show us that Paul writes to the Romans and he pours out his heart and he says in verse 1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, and that's the Jewish people, the people of Israel, for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. You see, and he concludes by saying, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And sadly, the scribes and the Pharisees set up their own laws and rules. And the climax of their mistake is that they set aside the Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself the end of the law for righteousness, but they set him aside. They had nothing to do with him. Of course, they became wise in their own understanding. And so the Bible tells us that God hid these things from them. But the way of salvation is revealed to a particular group of people in our passage described as little children. Little children. Now, this is not a reference to babies or those necessarily young in age. No, it is those who behave like little children. In other words, they demonstrate utter dependence on others. That's actually the characteristic of children. They depend upon others, upon their parents and the adults. In other words, spiritually speaking, little children are those who humbly confess their own helplessness and seeing their only provision in the Father. And therefore, they look to him in faith. Now, of course, it does not mean that the educated people cannot know God and be saved. No. The emphasis that Jesus would have us see is that salvation is by grace through faith. And whoever therefore relies upon the Lord Jesus by faith then is pictured as a little child. He may be educated or uneducated, but relying upon the Lord Jesus by faith alone. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees and all proud, self-righteous people, were considered wise and understanding in their own eyes. Those who humble themselves then are considered little children. This is an arrangement that God the Father has done, and as such, the Lord Jesus Christ praises him for it. God is thanked for the salvation that he has brought. He has arranged and he has brought. And so that is the first thing we see, a gracious salvation declared. But then as we move to the second point from this passage, then I want us to see the sovereign Savior behind this gracious salvation. The sovereign Savior behind this salvation. If you like, the sovereign Savior applies this. But let us see then how the Savior, the sovereign Savior, does it. And so, what do we see now in verse 27? We read these words, the first part of the verse. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. You see, we are told that Jesus Christ has been given all authority by his Father. In other words, he rules over all the universe for the good of the church. By the way, that is a profound statement. All authority is with Jesus for the good of the church. Jesus, therefore, handles and dispenses all that that is required for the salvation of sinners. It's all with Jesus. Let me show it to you in two ways. Two ways in which Jesus demonstrates that he has all for the salvation of sinners. One, that Jesus has what the sinner needs. Jesus has it. Of course, please, from our passage, we are told, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. So Jesus must have everything the sinner needs. Our first point there, sub-point, Jesus has what the sinner needs. And we can pick it from other passages of Scripture. Look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 35 and 36. This is what we read. John 3, 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And so the Gospel of John declares to us that because of the love of the Father to the Son has been given all things into his hand. In fact, you could also read the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 3, and the same truth comes out. Now, as we still ask, what is this? What is this in the hand of the Lord Jesus in terms of authority or expressed in the way of authority? Surely, this authority includes having power and control now over Satan, demons, all sicknesses, winds and waves, life and death. And we can actually continue to list other things. What I have done is just to list some of the things we have seen so far in the book of Matthew that I have preached through. So those are things that are under the control of the Lord Jesus, we may say. The well-known passage, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, also declare to us, Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Now, not only that, but that Jesus has the Spirit. You know, we need to take note of that. Jesus has the Spirit of wisdom, of counsel, and of might in being able to bring about the blessing to the people who are being saved. You read Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Okay, so let us then take note that Jesus has all it takes for the salvation of a sinner. But also, as I mentioned, there are two things that we were seeing under this sovereign salvation. Not only that Jesus has what the sinner needs, but that Jesus knows what the sinner needs. Jesus knows what the sinner needs. Back to our passage, verse 27, Luke 11, verse 27. Now, if you look at the part B of verse 27, where we read these words, "And no one knows the Son except the Father." No one knows the Son except the Father. In other words, Jesus Christ the Son has such a deep and gracious heart of love that no one can measure, but only the Father. Only the Father can understand the depth of the Son's love. Only the Father. In other words, it's deep. It's beyond measure. Oh, my friends, this Lord knows the sinner completely. And you know, that reminds me of Psalm 139, a glorious psalm. You read through that psalm, and I don't know what holds you or what makes you, what conclusion you come up with when you read Psalm 139. One of the verses would put it this way: "Before a word is in my mouth, oh Lord, you know it all together." Imagine. So before you speak, the Lord knows it. And then other passages, you know, other verses say, "He knows my sitting down and my rising up, and my going out and my coming in. And he goes ahead of me." It's an amazing chapter that the Lord knows us completely. But in fact, this knowledge of the Lord, we should understand that the Lord who knows us, you know what he sees in us by nature? He sees our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked or sick. I'm basically quoting Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, and they are desperately wicked. So, if such sinful people are to be changed, and so to be brought into a relationship with the Father and the Son, what must happen? That which must happen, my friends, listen to this, is the prerogative of the Son and the Father. In other words, there's no part that we play there. It is completely upon the Father and the Son if you are to be a partaker of this fellowship with them. Chapter and verse, well, we write in our passage, Matthew chapter 11, where we are studying. Look at verse 27 again. Verse 27, part C of it, near the end of verse 27, where we are told, "No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." In other words, the salvation of any and all God's children depend squarely upon the will and delight of both the Father and the Son. There's, excuse me, so much together in their labor or in their work of salvation. And that should remind us of John chapter 10, verse 30, which declares that the Son and the Father are one. And definitely that is seen in the salvation of his people. Of course, you know, there are those who wrongly teach that God does half and the sinner completes their own salvation. God has done so much. Now, if you don't do this, then you will not be saved. That is not biblical. Salvation is squarely a process that God begins and takes to the very end. Because Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 tells us salvation is by grace through faith. It's not by works or of works. Because, you know, to eliminate any boasting. So that's the second thing then we see. We have just seen how the sovereign Savior behind the application of this salvation, the sovereign Savior behind the application of this salvation. In the third place then, in the third place, let me bring to you now a glorious promise, a glorious promise offered and given in our passage, verses 28 and 29. Verse 28 begins by saying, "Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and you will I will give you rest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, this Jesus the Son, who both has and knows all that a weary and burdened sinner needs, now offers and gives that which they need. This Son freely says, "Come to me." And of course, this means believe in me. Now, how do we know this? Of course, John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35, explains that to us. John 6, verse 35, as we read, this is what we find. The passage, the scripture says, "Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe.'" And so you see, coming to Jesus and believing in Jesus are but the same thing. To believe in Jesus, the Son, of course, requires knowledge. A person needs to be taught, to hear, to learn, if you like, about Jesus. Then this person will be able to agree to the things he has heard, what we would call assent, what he has heard. And then this person will rely upon or trust that indeed the things that have been said are true. You can rely upon them or have confidence in them. And so that is to have a true faith. Now, to whom is this gracious salvation offered? and given to whom? And as we ask that question, the answer is this: to the weary and burdened. To the weary and burdened. Now, how do we get to know who are the weary and burdened? Well, the Lord Jesus is very helpful, because later, as we continue in the book of Matthew, he explains this in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, it is actually a very powerful chapter where he denounces, he pours, if you like, his condemnation upon scribes and Pharisees for their hypocrisy. And on one of those verses, this is what he says. Verse 4, Matthew 23. They, scribes and Pharisees, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. But they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. You see, they wore the people down by their religious demands, which even they could not keep. So the people were oppressed, and they were weary. And oh, my friends, as it was then, so now, there are those who oppress their hearers as regards the way of salvation. They teach things which are not in the scriptures, or they twist the scriptures and lay such burdens on people to carry out the do's and don'ts that are never asked by the Lord. And people remain oppressed and burdened and weary. However, in our passage, there is a promise for these burdened and weary people. There's a promise. The Lord Jesus, having said, "Come to me," and now he says, "I will give you rest." Verse 28b. I will give you rest. Now, this rest that the Lord Jesus promises involves some things that are taken away and some things that are supplied or brought in. The Lord Jesus takes away things in a burdened and weary heart. He takes away guilt and fear and anxiety and despair. You see, when false teachers, whether they be Pharisees or so-called preachers of our day, they so oppress their followers that these people sadly continue to be weighed down under great guilt and fear and anxiety and despair. The Lord Jesus promises to take those things away. And instead, and in a positive way, he promises to provide peace of mind, satisfaction and contentment of the heart, assurance of salvation, and we can go on. You read passages like John chapter 14, John chapter 14 verse 27, and John chapter 16 verse 33, those two passages, the Lord Jesus talks about his peace. He gives his peace to his own, even in a world where there is no peace. In a world where peace is so elusive, the Lord Jesus promises and provides peace. And of course, the other passage we can add is Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So peace is so important. And then, of course, other things to go with it. And so, friends, these things are glorious. The Lord promises rest for the people who come to him. But he goes on. In verse 29, he goes on. And this is what he says. The Lord Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, belonging and following Jesus involves joyfully taking up yourself all that he would teach and demand of you. There's nothing like following Jesus and being stubborn. No, he has called you to take up your yoke. And so the yoke is that which prescribes, or a prescription of his teachings and demands of you. It's described in the Bible language as a yoke. So Jesus says, your own teachers, the scribes and the Pharisees, have burdened you with yokes which are too heavy to bear. They're crushing you under those yokes. But I now invite you to take my yoke. Take it upon you. It is easy. It is light. And this is because I am gentle and lowly in heart. My sincere aim is for the good of your soul, that your soul may find rest. Dear friends, that is the passage. I wish we could say more, but time is not on our side. Let me just give two areas of application. More can be said even in the application, but I'll just restrict myself to two areas. One, many people are not saved today because of the confusion and wrong teaching that they have on the doctrine of salvation. Yes, people have been taught wrongly, and so they hold a wrong view of salvation. You see, salvation is not your own doing. Salvation is not trying to stop bad things and beginning to do good things. No. Now, that was the religion of the scribes and the Pharisees. And sadly, many are still living like that today. But listen to me. We have seen it above, but I'm pressing this point home. Salvation is entirely the will and work of God the Father and the Son. Yes. It is entirely locked up with God the Father and the Son. So what does that mean? It actually means this. The only thing you can do and must do is to cry, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is what we read in Luke chapter 18. Of a Pharisee who came to realize that his way of religion, his way of life was leading him to hell. And he turned And he said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." Because he came to realize the salvation is squarely God's work. You see, when you cry out, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," in fact, you are expressing your total dependence upon the Lord. As a child, a little child, expresses their dependence upon the parent. Yes, that's all you can do. Cry, "Mercy, mercy, give me Christ or else I die." Now, if you miss that, you will miss your salvation. And many people are missing it today, sadly. The passage we have seen clearly removes any claim of salvation from our hands. God is being thanked. And the Lord Jesus is the one thanking him. Because he has hidden the ways of salvation from those who are proud. And he revealed it to the simple, or people who are like children, trusting, crying out to him. That you must do, that the Lord may save you. And then in the second place, let me say this. My dear listener, I have presented to you one who sovereignly knows you in and out. He knows all your sins. And you know what? Ordinarily, he could condemn you to eternal hell because you have squandered great privileges of the gospel. Yes. But listen, with all that full knowledge he has over you, listen to this. He still says, "Come to me. Believe in me, trust in me, and I will take away your guilt and your shame. Come, I will give you peace. I will give you satisfaction. I will give you assurance." In other words, I'll give you rest for your soul. This is the one I am presenting to you today. And you know what? This offer is without regrets. You see, no amendments are needed to it. You see, it is not like our constitution, which currently has caused such panic in the country and uncertainty of tomorrow. And we don't know what the courts will rule. We don't know whether the president will dissolve the parliament, and all the fears that go with it. Where will the government get money to run the election? And if he does not dissolve the parliament, will anything then go through the parliament? Will anybody accept anything that now the parliamentarians will debate on? There seem to be uncertainties before us. But my friend, what I am offering you in this sermon is without regret. Without regret at all. I stand confident as I offer you this Savior. He will give you rest. He will give you peace. When he saves your soul, then all the challenges you face can also be dealt with The greatest, the most important, the first thing is your soul, your sin to be removed. Then other things will be yours as well. Will you come to him? Will you believe in him today? Please do not despise the Lord Jesus. He is the answer to all the uncertainties of today. The COVID-19 and all the other uncertainties and the challenges that we face, he is the answer. The Lord bless you. Amen.